All right, one more hour to go here. If you missed any of the previous 2 hours, there are the fan podcasts to go back to check out. We chatted with Ryan Clark from the Oregonian about the Oregon State Beavers, their upcoming season. Stick with us for one more hour, then we'll send you to Ducks Insider. You know, I have a feeling on Ducks Insider, one of these moments, you know, Dan Lanning's going to announce starting quarterback. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow. Never know. Have to check that out with Joey Mack. Then there's the fan happy hour at 2 o'clock with Luke Anderson from 2 to 3. And then primetime, 3 to 7, to take you all the way home. It's Thursday, so you get a bonus hour of Andrew Nemec recruiting style with him. I'm sure he's got a lot to get to at this time of the year, so make sure you tune into that. Wrapping up Thursday's 14 hours of consecutive local regional programming. Booyah.
Boom.
Booyah. Yeah. I feel like this is a theme, Danny, that we continue to talk about, and that is our warlords, our overlords that are ESPN, as they're continuing to do things. You remember what was it, maybe 4 months ago, 6 months ago, they started getting in like a spat with Major League Baseball. They were kind of like, you know, Sunday Night Baseball, we don't really like that thing. You know, baseball in general, we don't really like that thing. And they seem to like be really separating themselves. You know, this weird, awkward standoff between the two, you know, and Manfred goes on ESPN the other day and he like very specifically calls out partnership with ESPN. Yeah. I thought that was kind of like a, hey, you guys want to keep doing baseball. I did not realize that was a, hey, thanks for bailing us out, guys, because the rumors going around, the deal's close to being done. This is what, Kendall Baker, I'm not sure who that is, but this is the scoop they had. What they were hearing was Apple is fully out. Mm-hmm. That is RIP Friday Night Baseball. NBC Peacock is in for Friday and Sunday exclusive games.
Which means the end of Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN.
But it might be Sunday Night Baseball on NBC or Peacock, which won't be because of the NFL. And then the wild card as well on NBC Peacock.
So, Andrew Marchand from The Athletic does have a lot of this. So, ESPN would continue to broadcast around 30 regular season games, but not on Sunday night. ESPN would move to a different night during the week. The games on network would remain exclusive, meaning viewers would only be able to watch these matchups through ESPN, which, oh, weird. What happened today? ESPN launched their new app.
ESPN is about to buy MLB TV.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have the because I have the ESPN app, because I have YouTube, do I get all my MLB games for free now instead of paying $150 a year? Because like, isn't the hockey package like this too? That you can get the hockey package, but it's also on ESPN Plus. Am I remembering that correctly? Hockey bro, chime in 503-864-6326. Either way, I'm curious what this does. Do I save $150 by this?
Well, it says ESPN's debuted its DTC product Thursday that costs $30 a month and does not require cable, satellite, or YouTube TV type subscription. The added features of its new app are available to most, but not all customers who subscribe traditionally. Here's the interesting thing about the MLB deal. Do you know who's very likely to get the home run derby?
Netflix.
And man, they do the live event thing really well.
They kind of do, man.
Look, I can't remember the numbers. But you know, the Netflix live events, the Amazon Prime events, and the YouTube live events, they do it better than anybody. Did you watch, like, I know, you know, it's not traditionally your vein, but did you watch the Kendrick Lamar pop-up concert?
I did not.
Unreal.
Yeah.
The broadcast quality was like, I mean, there's a couple million people live watching it. And it was flawless.
All right.
And it was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I guess when you have the technology and you have the infrastructure like YouTube, Amazon, and Netflix do, buddy.
Well, I think that's a big reason why Netflix got into WWE was to start to get all those kinks and chains out. Because, look, if you screw up on a WWE broadcast, only the WWE fans are mad, you know? Like, remember the Paul Tyson fight? Like it was buffering, we were staring at butt cheeks for a little bit. Everybody was mad because everybody wanted to watch that. But once you kind of, you know, bang out them issues,
you work out the kinks
in WWE, you know, if Raw, I think it's Raw that's on Netflix.
That sounds
we
right.
did this the other day. Yeah, I can't remember.
I think that's right.
Raw's on Netflix. Look, if something happens and Raw goes dark for 20 minutes on Netflix, you and I might see it, but we don't really care. We're not talking about it the next day. But if they go down on the home run derby, we're going to be talking about it the next day.
Oops.
Yeah. So you get that, you use those to get those out of the way, mm-hmm. and then you're good to go. I'd be interested to see what Netflix could do with the Home Run Derby, too. I mean, do they bring back this guy?
Give it to me.
I thought you rolled your eyes at me. No. I thought you were going to go the other route.
No. Give it to me, Boom.
Yeah.
Back. Oh, it's great.
If that guy's still alive.
He is. Come on now.
I feel like last couple times I saw him on TV, kind of talks like me versus me meets Mike Lynch. Or Mike Leach, sorry. What, I was texting Mike Lynch. It's on the brain.
I know.
Me and if you put my voice and Mike Leach's Pat and Cough together, that's Chris Berman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's been kind of like talking Sunday Night Countdown.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I didn't see ESPN going full takeover. NFL stuff makes sense.
Well, I mean, the NFL got 10% of stake in ESPN.
The NFL stuff makes sense, but they can't get college because
it's live events, man. Look, I mean, we do this for a living, but like the stuff that I do around this, like the post game show, like the live events and shoulder programming for live events, that's where the money's at.
I don't care what channel my game is on. I'm going to watch it.
Well, as long as it's on something that's accessible. And
everything's accessible.
The home run stroke. Well,
that was a misfire. Oh, sorry about that.
But I
will go find it. I will sail the high seas if I got
to
find it.
I've been talking to a lot of people in the media space, like on the national level, just kind of get an idea, like, you know, because it pertains to us and our future and radio and TV and podcasting and live streaming and all these different things. And the general consensus among those that are in decision-making, you know, powers is that eventually the streamers are going to own sports.
Right. We're almost there. I mean, look at the MLS Apple TV deal is a great example. That's exclusivity.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there are games on like FS1 every once in a while, but every game is on Apple TV.
Yeah. But also, who owns FS1 now? ESPN.
They don't own them.
Oh, yeah, they did. They bought out Fox. They bought out Fox. Fox Sports is a part of the ESPN package.
I thought that was a joint deal to share.
Fox Sports is on ESPN.
What?
On the new app.
What?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Fox Sports.
This is what they're doing instead of that, like, WB joining together and ESPN airing all that. Essentially, yeah. This is what ESPN ended up getting, which is most of sports on their app, or at least being able to view them through their app.
Yeah.
That sounds like a conflict of interest.
Look, if you want to look at locally, Nexstar is buying Tegna.
Does the Associated Press fold and the ESPN takes over the Associated Press?
No kidding. Not that far out of the realm of possibilities.
For sports?
But like,
I think El Presidente would let him do it.
But look, I've had a lot of people ask me, you know, are Blazers games going to be carried on YouTube TV via K2 Sinclair? And I don't think so. And there was a discussion.
But we were supposed to get that extra channel.
Look, the extra channel is already there. YouTube TV accidentally carried, I think, two games last year because of a changeover at the beginning of the year when Univision went away and the full changeover to the .2 happened at K2. And I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here when I say I don't think it's going to happen. And it's not, I don't think it has anything to do with K2 Sinclair or the Trailblazers. I think it has, and this isn't like dismissing blame or anything like along those lines. From what I've been told, the likes of YouTube TV, Google, Amazon, Netflix, they don't want piecemeal. They don't want a couple teams here or there. They want entire leagues.
Yeah.
And they're not going to do anything until like, and then Google may end up getting the rights to all of the NBA and control all of the local broadcasts. So you if you've got YouTube TV, you can click in and watch whatever you want to watch. It's kind of a league pass, but it's like it's a full tie-in as opposed to, you know, Phoenix, Utah, Dallas, New Orleans, Portland, I think are the teams right now that are currently going the OTA, the over-the-air broadcast local. Like, do they want those five teams or do they want the entire league?
Right, like when Bally folded and the MLB just took over for a lot of the Bally stuff. And like they do that in the NBA.
Yeah, in Washington, Monument Sports.
Yeah,
they bought their Bally entity and brought it in-house, and they have Monument Sports TV that covers the Capitals, the Wizards, the Go-Go, and with I'm forgetting one other team that they own. I can't remember. But like they do it all in-house, and it's just, as somebody who works in this space, this stuff interests me because it impacts us and like how things are going to go.
100%.
It's you know, the Nextstar Tegna thing, it's what, $6.2 billion. Like the reason that gets interesting when you talk about like the world of sports is like their public reasoning for that purchase. For those that don't know, Tegna is KGW. Nextstar is Coin locally. This merger in the past couldn't happen because you could only any singular broadcaster could only own 39% of a given market space. But with where things are now, they don't have the finances to be able to continue to do those things and, you know, turn the profits you need to turn because they're publicly traded companies. So their push is, hey, we need to compete with the tech companies, i.e. Google, Amazon, Netflix, those companies. And is the pushback, instead of one of the tech companies getting a hold of the rights, does one of the big local broadcasters end up buying the rights because they would have entities in all those major markets? So it's an interesting contrast. Like, we kind of have an idea of where these things are going, like with what ESPN is doing and getting Major League Baseball and getting the NFL and doing these things. But also you are seeing the other big companies and streamers and the more traditional market or the traditional avenues also trying to make sure that they don't go the way of the dinosaur.
See, this is the Skynet that I always thought was coming around. Like, not the like weapons turning against a nuclear dystopia, but like
it's the weaponizing of the media.
Yeah. This is the Skynet that I saw coming. All right, we come back. Let's cruise over to the NFL. The Rashee Rice situation continues to hang over. How does this play out? Where does this go? A little NFL chatter as we finish out our day. Hang out with us. 105.1 The Fan. We're gonna do a college football program that I will maybe never understand. They could win a national championship, and I don't know if I'll ever understand that. So we'll get to that next. Always a reminder, Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. They also got college football. Watch your local NFL live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. There's a fight at joint practice. Is there anything dumber than fights in the NFL practice? Oh, or God, just fights in the NFL?
No.
Like, you got helmets on.
Nothing dumb about it. It happens.
There's a ton of stuff dumb about it. You got helmets on.
Yeah, I'm on Patrick's side of this.
Yeah,
one.
Like, what are you going to do? You going to break my fist on your helmet?
I mean, Brian Cushing broke his face on a helmet.
Brian Cushing was allegedly on steroids.
Not allegedly. So. Tested positive.
I'm just being safe. I don't want to get sued.
Yeah, look. I'm sure Brian Cushing's the only one.
Shocking. He was the Bill Romanowski of that time, right?
Well, yeah, you have a bunch of dudes that have been waiting to beat the hell out of somebody else and been beating the hell on their teammates for the last couple weeks. What did you expect?
I don't know, man. It's like throwing a punch at a bear. I just think it's a bad idea.
At what point is it actually criminal? And at what point is it I'm not trying to be a rare or a wussy here, but like there's fighting. You know, and then there's like scuffling, like amongst teammates or another team in this case. Like, at what point, if you're throwing a punch like off the football field, that's assault, brother. What are we doing here?
Look, I mean, I come from a very different world in the military.
Happy Gilmore once took off his skate and tried to stab somebody.
Yes, he did.
I am a subscriber to the violence solves a lot of problems. Well documented. I don't care.
Dude, that's your phrase of the week, man.
Yeah, I don't care. Like, I don't care if somebody gets knocked out. Problem solved.
Yeah, I don't really like to see it.
What? Geno Smith, anybody? No, problem not solved.
No, it solved the problem.
Well, in a way.
Yeah,
but
no.
It also ruined a guy's life for five years.
He's looking at it as black and white. Like, yes, the problem is solved. Yes, 30,000 people died, but yes, the problem's solved. That's how Danny looks at it.
You're not wrong.
I know. I know I'm not wrong.
There's certainly minutia to go into when you're talking about the global scale, but like...
Easy, Rod.
No, I was just saying, with Gino, do you think he learned from it?
I think Iz learned more from it than anything, but it still wasn't okay. That's I guess, where I come into play. It's like... That S shouldn't happen.
Talk bleep, get hit.
Coming back into the...
It is what it is. I know you're trying to save this. I don't.
So close.
No, I'm not going to let you. Look, man, in those worlds, look, do I think Draymond slumping Jordan Poole was a dirty shot?
Yeah.
Yeah. But
sure.
Also...
Dude, it ended Jordan Poole's career.
Well, And in at least the Golden State.
I mean, dude, where's Jordan Poole now?
New Orleans.
Have fun, buddy. Yeah.
Steve Kerr got knocked out by Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but if that helped them win, that helped them win titles.
I mean, Warriors.
I also saw something, you know, Kobe hit somebody and then felt so bad about it that he called him like crying and apologized. And
look, I mean, again, when problems need to get solved, sometimes getting hit is the course of action that solves that problem.
I hope that I'm never in a situation that I have to get hit to solve an issue.
I hope you are, just once.
You really want... I shouldn't do this. I'm walking right into it.
No, I don't want... I don't necessarily even want you to be the one that gets hit. I think you want me to hit? I almost want it for you to be the other way around.
You want me to hit?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Because then you're going to go... You're going to do it, and then you're going to look down at what your fist, and then you're going to look up, and that guy is going to be still standing there, and you're going to go, oh, crap.
That's exactly why it's not going to happen. Rashee Rice, the wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs. This situation's weird that it hasn't been kind of figured out yet. He pleaded guilty to two felonies in July. Racing on a freeway caused a giant accident on video, caused a bunch of injuries. And it looks like the NFL's trying to throw the book at him. But he's also attempting to negotiate with the league. Apparently there's no precedent for this situation in the NFL. When does a situation in the NFL become precedent? Because I feel like it's like, well, this guy hit his wife. This guy hit his girlfriend, but that's not his wife. So that's a different precedent. I think just being arrested and convicted of felonies should be kind of where the litmus test is here. I find it strange that he's trying to negotiate with the league. Why would the league let him negotiate with that? You know? Like, if you're going to get eight games, get eight games. Why would the league let him spill his case and try to talk about it and get it down to six? That feels very strange to me. It seems like the league wants to throw the book at him for half a season, but he's like trying to compare this to other people's situations who only got one game. I don't know, but I think it's a weird situation for the Chiefs, too. They're looking for a slam dunk number one wide receiver. You know, does this open the door for Xavier Worthy to come through and be the number one receiver? I'm not sure. But the effect of losing a guy for potentially 6 to 8 games could be pretty wild in the NFL, especially for the Chiefs, who are looking for that offense to keep going and keep becoming something that we kind of haven't seen the last few years. It's been pretty defense dependent. But this hearing is pushed till week 4. So the aspect of potentially losing a guy for 8 games, but it not coming around for week 4 could be something really, really nasty. Anyway, just something I was thinking about that I'm trying to wrap my brain around to see how the NFL will eventually take care of this. Hey, when we come back, let's jump into college football. There's a program out there. I saw this crazy stat about their quarterbacks and how they're on different teams. And when will I get to a point that I can actually take this program seriously? We'll do that next. But first, there's Schultzy with sports. All right, we'll have closing arguments coming up next here in a moment. And we'll send you on your merry, merry way. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today.
Yeah, especially if you're watching on YouTube and you watch me have what looked like a freaking stroke.
Yeah, I was wondering what was going on over there.
I checked out of that segment because I had the worst case of tinnitus I've ever had in my entire life. All of a sudden, it was just in my ear, and I just went completely short-circuited.
I'm going to start coming up with made-up words so I can half-ass segments like
you. Oh, dude, that was... I had no idea. I had a little bit of it before we had the show, or right before the show.
I know, I forgot you had mentioned that.
And I was like...
So I was like, I thought you like got mad at me for being woke or something.
No, I was just literally just short-circuiting. It was just like...
I didn't know Danny turned into a little butterfly.
Yeah, there's never anything on this show that I will just like, I'm not talking about this.
Can't go meow, meow.
But yeah, no, I... turns out, you know... The old joke in the military is it's not service related. The fact that you've discharged your weapon hundreds of thousands of times, and it's in my left ear, which is the ear that faces the barrel. But you know, it's one of those dumb things that if you've never had tinnitus, I didn't get it until a couple of years ago. The one I just had, you can watch it on YouTube. That was egregious. And I've got buddies that have it all the time. I'm like, how do you function?
You know what I learned from that? I learned that there's a reason why I don't talk about people like Rashee Rice. Because then when I realized I was all by myself, I was like, man, I really don't care about people that commit felonies.
Mm.
I just really don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I don't. I'm one of those firm believers that in like sports is a privilege, not a right.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you can't follow the same rules I follow, then I don't know, man, maybe you shouldn't get to play sports.
Oh, no. I
if you can get fired for felonies, which, you know, depending on them, you probably deserve to, like, then that should translate.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, Urban Meyer feels the same way. We'll chat about that tomorrow. I wonder what that's about. Mm. Da, da, da. So we'll get to that tomorrow as well. Some other things on the show tomorrow to look forward to is, I mean, it's just college football's back. College football's back, so that'll be exciting. We'll preview Washington State. Alex Brink will come on and chat with us about that. The uncomfortable word of the week, which I forgot to get suggestions in for today, but we'll have that tomorrow, along with some other fun stuff to send you on your weekend on a football Friday. But I came across this, and I thought it was really weird. Do you have any quote-unquote prominent college football programs that don't make sense to you why they're prominent?
No, I think everything has a reason one way or the other.
Someone's there for however reason?
Yeah.
Because I've got one, okay. And I'm really confused by it. It could be ignorance on my end. They do have a Heisman Trophy winner in my lifetime that
I've
seen.
I feel like we need to go Family Feud on there. Do we have ignorance on the board? Ding! First answer, top answer, number one, ignorance.
And that for me is Texas A&M. I came across this. They have one, two, three, four. They have like six different people that have played quarterback for them over the last 5 years that are now playing for other teams. Zach Calzada, he's Jimbo's first QB recruit. Saw some playing time in 2019, none in 2020. Became the starter in 21, and then got hurt and transferred. Haynes King, his second limited playing time to Kellen Mond in 22, injured, transferred. He's at Georgia Tech.
Ram the wreck.
Connor Wiegman.
He's where's he at now?
Is at the University of Houston where he's expected to start.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he just got named starter yesterday or the day before.
Jalen Henderson was a transfer from Fresno. He'd get the start against Mississippi State due to injuries. He gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some other guys. So it led me to this question with Texas A&M, like, does it make them look good or bad at recruiting? They got starting quarterbacks everywhere, but none of them do it for Texas A&M. I mean, Kellen Mond was good for them. I liked him. But why can't and Jimbo's kind of a disaster. I don't know if it's the Jimbo thing.
Yeah, well, not only that,
this whole program just confuses the ever-living bejesus out of me.
Well, I mean, they have their place in college football because they were super, super, super early national champions. It was like the 20s.
Cool.
But they also have Heisman winners.
They've got Johnny Manziel, and when was the last one?
Wow, it's been a while.
Not my lifetime.
I used to know.
If you won a Heisman Trophy before 1990, I have no idea who you are. Well, that's not true. But, like, I know the big names, and that's about it. Your name has to be, like, Barry Sanders for me to know.
John David Crow in 57. They have two Heisman winners.
In 57? My dad was born in 57. My dad was born in 57.
But here's the thing. Again, no matter the fact that it was 100 years ago, going back 100 years, how many schools do you think have multiple Heisman winners and three national championships?
I will go with Florida. I will go with...
So you've got Florida, USC, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan. Like,
yeah, I was going to go with those
Notre
guys.
Notre Dame, okay.
Who's the Heisman? Tim Brown?
Notre Dame? Yeah.
Yeah. No. That's it, though.
No, they have another. They actually have a... why not?
So I guess I'm looking at this. I think what you're trying to say is that I'm looking at six schools that have only done this one thing.
Yep. So you've got Tim Brown, and then you got a bunch in the 40s and 50s.
So I'm looking at this as something that only six teams have accomplished, but I think more teams should have.
Yeah.
It's like when you look back at the last 20 years and it's like five teams have won a natty.
Yeah, there's not that many. So again, A&M's a cult, A&M's insane. It's, you know, all of these things. They've gone through the Jimbo era and they've gone through the pay-for-play era and all this pomp and circumstance of like the, you know, they're going to be this is the year they're back, blah, 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 blah.
I guess all those other schools that you speak of, though, I've seen that. I've seen Florida be good. I've seen Michigan win titles.
We saw A&M be pretty damn good with
for 1 year.
Again, but, you know, the Johnny Manziel, Mike Evans stuff was pretty damn good.
For like 10 minutes, though. Like, I've seen Michigan win multiple natties in my life. I've seen Ohio State win three natties under three different coaches in my lifetime. I've seen Florida, you know, two natties and a Heisman Trophy for a four-year guy.
But again, if you go over the last 100 years,
they're not all there. But then A&M needs to figure it out. Otherwise,
yes, 100%.
Otherwise they're going to lose. They've already lost this standard for me. I was surprised that you were like, I mean, you're bringing a lot of rationale to the conversation, which I appreciate, but to me I was kind of like, how are we sticking up for
it's
this?
It's the what have you done for me lately of it, and the lately goes back a long
way. That's right, yeah. My lately is 40 years.
No, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you, but you start talking, if I just, you know what, in the break, I'll do this. I'll go through and find at schools that have won at least three natties and had two Heismans. I bet you that list is less than 10.
I'll bet you that list is less than 10, too. Of all time?
Of all time.
Of all time?
Here's the thing. You're going to have, like, the Army's probably going to sneak their way in there.
Yeah, you'll have the old school guys, the Army's, the Harvard's.
You know what I mean? Like, but other than that.
But like, when does Ohio State come around? How many Heisman trophies does Ohio State have? I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Jeremiah Smith.
We will. God, that is.
But you know what I mean? Like, even a program like that off the top of my head. I mean, Michigan has two in my lifetime, in Dez and Woodson.
So Troy Smith was the first one I could think of. Okay, Eddie George.
Eddie
was,
George,
and then
okay.
Archie.
I was wondering if Eddie George did it. So Archie.
But the other ones were.
Archie has two, right?
Vic Janovitz, Howard Cassidy, and Les Horvath, and those are from 44 to 55.
Yeah, that's old.
But again, they do have more recent ones in Eddie and Troy, but. Again,
I think the clock should start on A&M.
Oh, 100%.
But I think it should.
If you're saying, like, quote unquote, blue blood, they do historically, I know it's gross, but they do historically have the resume. But in the what have you done for me lately, and basically our lifetime, it's one year.
It's 1 year. Remember when Kevin Sumlin was the bee's knees?
Oh, yeah, dude. Oof. There was a time when USC's coaching was an issue, was, you know, the Clay Helton period, and I was like, I was talking myself into Kevin Sumlin.
Dude, for all the garb that people want to throw at Oregon for not winning Natty, their program is 1,000 times more relevant to me than A&M, and it's not even because I live here.
Oh, no, you're not wrong.
Without a doubt.
The relevancy part of it, but again, you're talking about the historical markers.
Yeah.
Like,
UW has done more for me than A&M.
God, that, how much does that hurt you to say?
It hurts a lot, brother.
Yeah.
It hurts a lot. It hurts a lot. All right, when we come back, closing arguments, we'll send you on your way. This is That's Danny Meringue. I'm Patrick Harris, 105.1 The Fan. 503-864-6326. That's the fan text line. I'll read some of these here. Jimbo wasn't great at A&M, but people painted it as a disaster. He was 45-25, had a winning record in the SEC, definitely fell short of expectations, but certainly not the dumpster fire people lazily proclaim. That's a fair point. That's a fair point. I'm willing to admit that. I just think coming off of a Heisman Trophy and Jameis and a national title, walking in there, getting spats with Nick Saban and acting like A&M was coming to the big block. That walk is not. So I agree that, yes, that is a great point to that texter's point. I think they're right. It's not a disaster. It looks bad.
No.
Aesthetically, it's a disaster.
When you talk about your recruiting class, like we had Bar 2 on yesterday. And he talked about the USC collection of talent from 2000 to 2010. There's nobody comes close. You can sit here and yell at me, USC guy, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. The numbers are just there. The math is there. The talent collection they had was absurd. That's why they were what they were.
Two Heismans in that 10-year.
Yeah, they were.
And some finalists.
Yeah, they were pretty good.
Mark Sanchez, a finalist.
Remind me again, what school is it in the country that has the most Heisman trophies?
Oh, God. The answer is USC. There's a bunch at 7. Dude, if Notre Dame gets a Heisman trophy this year, if Jeremiah Smith gets a Heisman trophy, look out, sir.
There we go. Anyways, but, you know, he even said, like, he underperformed, and that was winning titles.
Mm-hmm.
Jimbo had supposedly all this talent.
Shared titles.
No. We had Bar 2 to, you know, dispel that. They were the best team in the country, hands down. The expectation. It was a disaster to the expectation.
Mm-hmm.
This would be like if who is the best coach in college football right now? George Kirby, Georgia with Kirby. If Kirby goes to Alabama and replaces DeBoer and went DeBoer went 9-3. The expectation is you are the best coach in college football with all the power and all the resources and all the talent in the world. You are expected to go out there and do it. And yeah. Jimbo's coming off of that run, and the talent acclimation at A&M was robust.
And I don't think a lot of people really give Jimbo the full credit at Florida State either.
And that may be the part of it.
Yeah.
Again, I think
there's a lot of that too.
I also think Jimbo...
I mean, Bowden's long gone, but I think a lot of people kind of didn't really view Jimbo as...
No.
It's like, you got Jameis, and that did it for you.
I think Jimbo checked out when he got that check at A&M.
I think so,
and
too.
I don't think he was a bad coach. I think
big
he just...
Too.
I did the quick math. I got to 7 schools, if you take out Army, Harvard, Yale.
Yeah, to Deal's point on the text line, if your national title happened before Israel became a country, you might need to look in the mirror. Israel became a recognized nation in 1948.
Yeah.
That's a fair litmus test for me. 1948 is the last time the Cleveland Indians won a World Series. Jackie Robinson debuted in 47. I'm perfectly fine with 47 being the year of the litmus test.
But
when also the big war and
when,
all that stuff.
Yeah, when you're talking about schools that have like the requisite number of just Heismans, right? I mean, you're to this, like LSU has 3.
And
Nebraska,
two of those are recently.
Yeah, in Burrow and Daniels.
Both those guys are in the NFL and young.
Yeah. Nebraska has 3 and the multiple titles. Michigan has 3 and multiple titles. Florida State has 3 and multiple titles. Florida has 3 and multiple titles. Army also on here technically mm-hmm. would qualify, but we're not putting Army, Harvard, or Yale on here. Auburn has 3 and multiple titles. Bama 4 and multiple titles.
Multiple Heismans in my lifetime too.
Yes.
What am I thinking of? I'm thinking of Devonta, Ingram,
mm-hmm.
and
we're missing one. Who are we missing?
It's not a quarterback.
God dang it. Now this irritates the
Devonta,
hell out of me.
Ingram.
Bryce.
And Bryce Young. Yeah. It is a quarterback.
Yeah. And Derrick Henry.
Poor Bryce Young. It is Bryce Young.
Yeah. It's Derrick Henry.
Guy.
So
poor guy.
But then you've got the big Heisman hitters, which are Notre Dame at 7, Oklahoma at 7, Ohio State at 7, and then
fight on at 8. I think I can name all 8.
Think so? I bet you won't get one of them.
Okay, I bet you I won't. I bet you I can name 7 of them.
Okay, go.
Marcus Allen, O.J. Simpson,
mm-hmm.
Reggie Bush,
mm-hmm.
Matt Leinart.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got. What is that, 4?
Yeah, you're missing the one that was 3 years ago.
Oh, Caleb.
There you go. And then the quarterback before Leinart.
Carson Palmer.
Ding, 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 ding. Charles White was the one I knew you missed.
Oh, oh.
And then Mike Garrett.
Mike Garrett.
Yeah. Running back you, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what it was for a time. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's not fair.
But again, like I said, there's 7 teams.
There's only 7.
Including A&M, which again, the titles are old.
But to get back to my Oregon reference, mm-hmm. to use Oregon
relevancy.
as a local
yes.
thing, Oregon has been way more relevant since 2000 than Texas A&M has.
Absolutely.
And that's one Heisman Trophy, one national champion, or 2 national championship appearances, mm-hmm. both not very good losses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one is, what, 13-10? Is that the Cam Newton year? Like, that was a really awful game in general. So, like, there's not a lot to scratch at for that, but way more relevant than this.
It's not denigrating Oregon. It's just...
Remember, Clemson were known as losers for a long time, and that is 35,000 times of a program.
He's got 2.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you were saying Kirby Smart leaves Georgia, I thought you were going to say...
I was going to say Clemson.
I thought you were going to say...
I
thought you were going to say who is the best coach in college football. I was going to be like, oh, God, it's going to be Dabo.
Run from it.
I heard,
dread it.
I heard
it comes for you all the same.
I heard Dirt and Sprague talk about this the other day. Like, what would winning a natty do for a coach the most?
Dabo.
And I think they settled on James Franklin. I think Franklin has had a very tumultuous time.
Dabo
it would do
would
worlds
rain.
For Lanning.
Oh, dude.
I think obviously Ryan Day winning another would do a lot for him. I swear, if Dabo Swinney
had
3 national championships, I would lose my brain.
Dude, like
it would hurt so bad.
He's unassailable.
I know.
And there's a legitimate chance
he can win one this year.
If Clemson won a title this year,
what if Klubnik wins a Heisman and they win a Natty?
Neither of those things are like crazy possibilities.
Everybody would hate life so bad.
You have arguably the best returning quarterback in the country. You have the best pass rush in the country on paper, hands down.
Your preseason top 10. Like, you're in the ACC, like, which could fall apart at any second.
There is a world very much that exists where Clemson is playing in a national championship.
Maybe that's the heel route I'll take in college football. Maybe I'll root for
because
Clemson.
If he wins three, you can't say a bleeping thing to the guy.
He would be insufferable. See, told you, transfer portal's not good. But, NIL's not good.
But you know what? You know what you can do? Nothing, because he's got three of them things.
Oh my god!
At that point in time, you just had to sit there and go, "I got nothing." You know what I mean? Because you get three, brother. That list gets real short.
If Clemson wins a natty, I'll buy a 59.50.
Clemson,
new wear a hat.
Oh, dude,
like the one I'm wearing
right
now.
I'm not gonna lie though. That orange paw, it's.
I know, but it's got purple.
That's right. You're anti-purple. Yeah, I get it. But you can get the orange and white one.
Yeah, I'll do orange and white. Yeah, I do love orange. Orange is my favorite color.
They got a tiger that they bring out on the field. Like, it, you know.
Dude, that stadium is rocking.
Oh, dude.
That stadium is rocking. Like,
if you're talking about bucket list college football stadiums, Clemson is 100%.
That's why I want semifinals at home.
Oh god, yes.
I want that game at Clemson.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want that game in the Bayou.
I
want that game in Tuscaloosa at the Horseshoe.
Is this a safe space?
Sometimes.
I'm a closet Dabo fan.
Oh God, you would be. He represents everything you would. You would be.
But no, it's the teams that he has.
Well, the teams he has have been very likable.
They're just like they play like again.
Hey, look, Deshaun Watson,
terrible, terrible human.
I knew we were going to go there.
My God, he was so much fun to watch.
He was a lot of fun.
Him and Sammy Watkins. Are you kidding
and,
me?
And Trevor Lawrence looked like the second coming
Football
of John
Jesus?
Elway.
Jesus,
yeah.
I mean, good God, dude.
Yeah, Dabo.
He has some bangers.
Moral of the story: Texas A&M sucks. I think that's what we learned today on the program, kids. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Alex Brink will join us. We'll preview Wazoo football. I'm excited to get into that. And we'll get us ready going into week zero as football has finally become. We'll
week
be ready
zero,
for that.
Zero week.
Week okay. zero. Who knows? Ducks Insider is next. Then the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson. For Danny Meringue, that's Schultzy on the ones and twos. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something. I would do.
Bye.